Okay, so good morning, everyone. Welcome to our final shiur for this Zman. Last week, we were discussing the idea of you have this property, has an ability to, ein badin chaluka, you can't split it. We talked a little bit about all the different things. They agree to split it, they can't split it. Today, what I want to focus on is the specific idea of gud o agud. How to define those terms and translate those terms are actually going to be part of what we're going to talk about. But just to begin with, the case is the following, which is source number one. You have something that doesn't know din chaluka. To split it is not option. Or, if we saw last week, maybe if they both agreed to, but they're not both agreeing to split it. So it's too small to be split. Is there any option? Is there any recourse? Can you do anything to not have them continue to be partners together? Rav Yehuda Amar, eat dina degud o agud. Rav Nachman Amar, late dina degud o agud. Rav Yehuda says there is this concept of gud o agud, which essentially is a buyout. Either I buy you out or you buy me out. Who's setting the price? We'll talk about that. The proper definition of gud or agud, we'll get to that. But in general, the idea of proposing a buyout, Rav Yehuda says there is an option for a buyout, that if we cannot split this property, it is conceivable that I could still force my partner to relinquish his property by me paying him for his property or by forcing him to buy my property. That's Rav Yehuda. Rav Nachman Amar, late Dina de Guduagud, and Rav Nachman says there is no such idea. You cannot do this buyout thing. You cannot force another party to purchase or sell their part of this property that you both own that does not have a din chaluka. The Gemara goes back and forth. As I said in the email, the Gemara goes back and forth trying to prove one side or the other. Is this true? Is it not true? For the sake of just giving you that, I gave you that middle paragraph beginning with Amar Le Rav Le Rav Nachman. Because we only have 57 minutes left, I'm not going to spend time on the actual back and forth here that my chavrut and I spent days on. I just want to move to, honestly, the next paragraph after that, only because it's going to come up later on, actually the final paragraph, what I'm really interested in, when they're going back and forth about this concept. The following case is brought, the last paragraph of source number one, Tashma, kol she'ilu yechalek u'shmo alav cholkin, v'imlav malino to bedamim. As a proof for the idea of gud or agud, the Gemara brings this idea that kol she'ilu yechalek u'shmo alav cholkin, if you could split it and the name still applies, i.e. it has a din chaluka. So cholkin, one can unilaterally force a split. Imlav, if there's not a din chaluka, ma'alin oto bedamim, we're going to spend some time trying to define that term, but I underline it. It seems the way the Rishonim understand that line, ma'alin oto bedamim, is code word for, this is the case of gud or agud. That's certainly the way Rashi understands, and we'll see that's the way others. Now, what the precise meaning of ma'alin oto bedamim is going to actually be impacted by what the words gud or agud mean, and we're going to get there. But either way, the Gemara has this additional line, ma'alin oto bedamim, which again is going to be relevant. That's why I'm giving it to you right now in source number one. But either way, from source number one, we see there's a machloket, Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman. Do we allow a buyout, one party to force the other one to buy or sell in order to dissolve the partnership? The first thing to discuss, and by the way, I don't know why, when I printed out mine, like the Yesod HaMachloket looks normal, but in several of yours, it looks funny, and I apologize for that, but just, it's supposed to look like this, with it like normally spaced, so I apologize. Okay, so what is the Yesod HaMachloket about this? So my Chavrut and I, we were going back and forth trying to figure out what the Yesod HaMachloket between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman is related to whether we allow gud or agud or not. The only place that I saw anyone quoting that explicitly suggests among the Rishonim that explicitly suggests what the basis of this machloket is the Yad Ramah in source number two. So the Yad Ramah is quoting this Gemara. He says, Rav Yehuda Amar, eat dina de gudu agud, de matzi chad minayhu lemeymar le lachavre, gud et kule bimana, vahavli deme cholkai. Take all of my portion for amana, vahavli deme cholkai, and then give me the value of that portion. The i'at lo nichalach lech lemigad agud ana kule bemana. So if you don't want to do that, so then I'm going to take it and we'll do the same thing. I'll pay you the value and I'll take your property. That's Rav Yehuda. For Rav Nachman Amar, late dina deguda wagud, there is no such, this is not an allowed thing, you can't force this buyout. Ella mishtamshi be bahadi hadadi, they're going to be stuck, they're going to continue working together. Inami mugri le laachrini upagi le laagre. So you don't want to work together? Fine. So then lease it to someone else and split the money. But you can't force a buyout. That's, Rav Yehuda says you can. Rav Nachman says, no, the buyout can't happen. You have to, you're not forced to work together. You can lease it to someone else and split the money, but you can't force this buyout. I think that's the value of the property. Which mana are you referring to? I think the mana is the value of it. You're saying it's a repetitive there?
I don't understand the difference between the mana and the mechul koi.
Right, I'm saying it seems repetitive. Yeah, I don't think
that's what goat. The problem is the word goat.
Now, right.
Goat usually we render as mishicha.
We'll see. Yeah.
That's part of my problem.
Yeah, so we'll see. I think I'm trying to remember where the Yad Ramah falls into the big machloket as to what gud or agud means, but that may come up. I don't think I'm quoting anyone who says explicitly what the Yad Ramah. Maybe it's actually in the Beit Yosef. But yeah,
it sounds like what he's saying is value the entire thing for a mana and then give me my percentage of that.
The whole field is a mana.
Yeah.
Okay.
The problem with that is that.
No, but what about the other part? When he says that, so I will value the entire thing?
I'm going to value the entire thing as a mana, and then I'll give you your portion, correct?
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know.
Could be. It's could be. We're going to get there. We're sort of going to get there. Sources 3 through like a billion are going to be, no, 3 through 9 are going to be defining good. So to some degree, what you're saying is going to come up, but we can go back to the Yad Ramah and sort of play with how he understands good, because I don't know that I'm quoting anyone who says explicitly what he believes, but we'll see. Anyway, so that's the Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda. So b'mai kamiflagi. So what is the machloket here? Rav Yehuda savar good o agud adif. So Rav Yehuda says better to do good or agud. That's like a good option here. D'dami lechaluka tvei d'mistalki mehadadi. Umati le l'chol chad minayhu midi demit hani le mine. He says, look, ideally, I think the ideal would be you'd actually do a proper chaluka. But there's no din chaluka, so you can't do a din chaluka. So what's the next best thing? So next best thing is gud or agud, which is close enough, I guess, to a chaluka, because they're both going to get something out of it, and they're both going to separate. It's essentially a chaluka, just, it's not a chaluka. It's a gud or agud, but it's like a chaluka. So that's why Rav Yehuda says, look, you can't do chaluka. Gud or agud is the next best thing. It's close
so
enough
to
a chaluka.
Then that the case according to that Ramah would be that both of them want to split it. The question is how to split it. But because it's less than din chaluka, but then we say that even if it's less than din chaluka, if they both want to, maybe they can do it. So what?
Right, so they, no, clearly they don't, both.
One wanted to, but the other one doesn't want to.
Right.
So
they can't do chaluka. There's no din chaluka, and so you can't unilaterally force the chaluka. But still, the best way to split property is with the din chaluka.
The partnership. You want to continue.
Right.
He doesn't want to split.
Right.
Just one person want to walk out from the deal. The other one wants to stay in the partnership.
Correct.
But the way that
property is split is through chaluka. That's the ideal way to sever a partnership. There, you can't do chaluka here, but you could do this, and this is close to chaluka. So, if chaluka was possible, we would have done chaluka. But chaluka is not possible, so we'll do good or agud because that's close enough to chaluka.
It sounds like there's many other options that would be closer.
Right, like splitting time, for instance.
Time.
Yeah.
Split your part, someone else. I'm going to stay where I am, but why am I...
Right, so I think he's saying this is close enough... Because mati le l'chol chai minayu midi dimidhani le minayu. Each year is going to get a benefit out of it. What happens in a chaluka? I get something I can benefit from. You get something you can benefit from. So that's what's happening here. It's basically the same thing. It's different, but it's conceptually you're accomplishing something comparable. I think that's the way Yad Ramah would phrase it. V'lo od ala shiyad nitba ala elyona livvoror lo. Ratzah karka notel, ratzah mot notel. Also, the way he's saying is that the nitba, the one who doesn't want to split, even has the upper hand. He's the one who's sort of getting messed over, so he has the upper hand to choose the land or to choose the money, but he's in a good position, better position than the Tovea.
But he still needs to, he doesn't want to not do the non-dis. I don't want anything, so he's not in a real good
position. Right, but of the two parties, he's in the better position because he gets to choose what he wants.
Thank you. It's a pas nichumein of saying Hebrew. He doesn't really want to.
Right? Consolation prize. Yeah. So that's Rav Yehuda. That's the way Rav Yehuda would work according to the Yad Ramah. Rav Nachman Savar, Mekam Beshut Futa. So he's saying the same thing. You want to keep the closest thing. So in this case, the closest thing, there's no din chaluka, is to maintain the partnership and then just split the lease it out to someone else and then get the split the rent, whatever you get into it, or split the usage of it. Didami la chaluka, because that's really closer to a concept of chaluka. Velo mistalek chai binayhu mimatu menate bezuzi legamri. And don't do what you're doing, which is one person is totally removed from the karka. Right? That's not chaluka. Chaluka would be they each take their own separate thing. That's not gudaragud. Gudaragud is one person walks away with it, one person walks away with money. So the whole question essentially for the Yad Ramah is, we want to do chaluka, ideally. But there's no din chaluka, so you can't do chaluka. So what's the closest thing to chaluka? Is it gudaragud? Rav Yehuda would say, yeah, gudaragud. That's basically the same thing as chaluka, only different. Rav Nachman would say, no, the closest thing to chaluka is leaving it as is, renting it to some third party, and then them splitting the value. That's the Yisod HaMachloket there. Okay. Any thoughts, questions before moving on? Okay, so now to get into the piece that Rabbi Torchina brought up, which is understanding what gud and agud literally mean. So we'll start with, I think I tried to go chronologically through these sources. And this section right here, the definition of gud or agud, is going to be inextricably bound up in who sets the price. We're going to start with what gud or agud means, but you're going to see that there are going to be holes and that we're going to come to and sort of tie up when we get to sources 10 through 15 that are going to, but just, so we'll start now with this idea of gud and agud, what the words gud or agud literally mean. I mean, agud is I will gud is you gud. What does gud mean? So here's Rabbi Gershom in source number 3. Vi leka shir chaluka mai. So let's say you don't have a din chaluka, what do you do? Rav Yehuda amar it dina de gud o agud, dima chad rotze shishtam shubo shnehem beshutfut, ze shavua echad beze shavua echad, ve echad eno rotze, they want to split it, I take 1 week, you take another week, this guy doesn't want it. Yechol amar, hai de eno rotze nishom oto bedamim, we'll evaluate it, v'tikne ata chalki, and you will acquire my portion, o ani chalkecha, and I'll take yours. Gud mishoch targum. Right, good means to take, to pull, to. We'll get there. Don't worry, but not to that specifically one, but we'll get there. Yeah, so that's Rav Yehuda. Good, you can do that. Rav Nachman Amar late dinner to good. Oh, good. Klamar, I hai ena rotze ena yachol lachafoto v'lamar lo ken ela mishtamshim bo b'shut food. Right, Rav Nachman says you can't force me to take or you to take. Rav Steven is here, so welcome to the U.S. Rav Steven. Oh my gosh, I just realized my computer was muted. Sorry. If anyone had any comments, please, by all means. Yeah, Rav Steve?
Just saying that I am here.
Awesome. You're also a robot. Very good. What?
Space station.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the way Rabbeinu Gershom understands this. Contrast this right now to Rashi. Rashi in source number 4. On Dibur Marchil, Eat Dina Degudu. Well, good. Here's what he says. Zeh rotze lachlok, omer lezeh sheino rotze lachlok, o kotz li damim, ukene lecha chelki, o ani akotz damim, v'tan lecha b'chelkecha, shi ifshi b'shutfutecha. So he's not officially defining what gud or agud means, but the way he's describing what happens, either I will kotz li damim, you set the price, ukene lecha b'chelki, and then you set the price that you want to buy it for, and then you'll buy it, you'll give me the money, or I'll set the price, and then I'll give you that for your portion. Because I don't want to be your partner anymore. He's not saying mishoch officially, and we're going to see this more explicitly later on, but he's sort of introducing either I'm going to set the price, or sorry, you set the price that I'll pay, or you set the price that you're going to buy it for, or I'll set the price that I'm going to buy it for. Source number 5 is the Rambam. The way Rambam has this is different from Rashi's. You'll see. Source number 5, Echad min ha-shutfin, shemar l'chaver b'makom she'ein bo din chaluka. There's no din chaluka here. Over dvar shi efshar shi achloku kigon shivcho kli, something that couldn't be split. Mechor li chalkecha bekach vekach, sell me what you know your portion for this amount. Oh kanami meni kishar hazeh, I'm selling the I'm going to set the price here, and you buy it either from for this or I'll buy it from this. Hadini mo, he can do that. Vekofina tanit balim kor lechaver oliknot mimano, using the price that the toveya set. I'm saying here's the price. You buy it for this, or I'm going to buy it for this. Yeah.
How would the Rambam deal with the case where it's not a 50-50 partnership?
What do you mean?
That if it's 50-50, this makes sense. Here's the price. I'll buy this from you for this price, or I can sell this to you for this price.
Interesting. Saying, I don't know. I think saying...
Well, he says kishar hazeh. Shar hazeh doesn't mean the same amount. It just means the same...
This is the price per acre. This will be price per acre.
What if we're comparing apples to oranges? Like, what if I own a well in your land, or something like that?
If you own a well in my land,
then you can't really compare prices.
Meaning, if they're qualitatively different types of land, how could there be one? No, so.
You want to have a problem, they won't have it in Chalukah. They don't have it in Chalukah. I'm trying to imagine a case in which you don't have the chalukah.
Can we divide
it
well?
No.
It could be anything. It could be some sort of like building of some sort that's in lo shem alav. Like if you split it, it doesn't have the same.
I still think shara as it works.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. Meaning, yeah, but I think Rabbi Tochiner is correct in saying that the question is, I'll set the equation for what the payment is going to be, and then depending on what the size is, then. But either way, he's the one setting it. But that's this idea. Okay, so the Keshtef Mishnah, drawing on the language of Rambam, and we're going to see he's going to say this again in the Beit Yosef. But in the Keshtef Mishnah, source number 6, he says, "Chad min ha'shutfin she'amar l'chaveiro v'chulei nira she'rabeinu mefarash gudo agud k'perish ha'aruch t'hainu meshocho emshoch." He says it seems clear that the way Rambam understands gudo agud is either you take it or I take it. Shu omer lo, ani kotzetz kach damim ba'ad chalkecha, o timkarehu li ba'ad zeh hasach, o emkor lecha b'chalki b'zeh hasach. Right? Essentially, I'm setting the price, and now the question is, good, you take it, or agud, or I'm going to take it. But here's the price, and the question is, who's going to take it? Good or agud, you or me? That's how he's understanding it. And he points out, Rashi Perish Be'inyanach, and he says, this is not the Rashi's understanding it. The way Rabbeinu Gershom and Rambam are going equivalent, but Rashi has a different idea. He doesn't think that I'm going to set, a price is set, and now you take or I take. Literally, the question is, you set the price or I set the price. There's a difference of who's setting the price. As I said, this is going to be more coming up. But here, according to Rambam, according to the case of Mishnah, Rambam and Rabbeinu Gershom and the Aruch are all in the same camp of gud means mishoch, whereas Rashi understands it differently. The tour in source number 7, he goes in the same idea of Rambam's top of page 2. Ela danin bo din gudo agud perish im echad yomar lachavera mechor li chalkecha bekach bekach o kneata bechalki beoto sakum shomin lo. Right? This is the price. I'm taking it or you're taking it. One of us is going to take it. Same basic idea. And the Beit Yosef says that. So the Beit Yosef, it's a long Beit Yosef. We're going to do part of it here. Well, then we'll do part of it in the next section. But here, he says, nothing that's such a big chiddush, but just to see it. Perish Rashi, gudo agud, ze sherotze lachlok, omer le ze she'in rotze lachlok, o kotz li bedamim, ukena lecha chalki, o ani akutz bedamim, veten lecha bechalkecha, shi ifshi beshut futecha. Lufize, gud hu milashon godu ilana. Source number 1. This is from the Nebuchadnezzar in Sefer Daniel. I said footnote number 1. Sefer Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar has this crazy dream. So here, and I gave you the full pasuk with Rashi's translation in footnote number 1, where godu ilana, literally, and the way Rashi translates it in his commentary in Sefer Daniel, kotsu ha'ilan, you know, cut off the branches, the tree. Kolamar, kots damim, I don't know, cut the price, set a price. Ukana, and purchase it. Oh, akuts damim ve'ekne, or I'll set the price and I'll purchase it. It's the way he's understanding Rashi, is that good means, you know, cut You know, I don't know how you officially linguistically go from cut to set a price, but it's...
Cut you a deal.
Yeah, cut you a deal, cutting you the price here.
Yeah, it's to set, like to be choteich, if you say.
It'd be nice if the proof that he brought was one where gud means to set a price, not where gud means to cut. But, okay. Cut means to set. Yeah. Cal? Okay. What's that? Okay. Uvala Aruch, Aruch God number two, and I give you the note there what the Aruch says in footnote number two. Perish good milashon meshicha ki targum vayim shechu ungidu. Right. He says, look, Yusav, good actually means to pull, to draw, and he brings from the Yosef story when they pull Yosef out of the pit vayim shechu. V'aluat Yosef minabor unigadu. Our Unkluz translates mashach is good. It's the same shorish there. To pull, to good is to pull. So that's the way Aruch is understanding it. Dainu mishocho emshoch klamar omer lo okne omechor. Either purchase it or sell it. V'nirli sheyesh chiluk bein Rashi ve'Rambam the Farish Halashon. So it seems that Rashi and Rambam understand the language differently. Dilarashi gudu agud perisho tekotz ata damim be'ad chelki. You set the price for my field, for my portion. Vim erza eten lacha shiur otam damim. And if I want, I will then, we'll do that. Eten lacha shiur, I'll sell it to you for that price that you set. Vekach, eten lacha shiur otam damim. I'm sorry. You set the price, and then I will vekach chelkecha. That's the price that I will pay. Vim lo erza, and if I don't want to do that, ten li damim shekatzatzta, then I'll use the same price that you just said, and I, again, they're the same rate that you just set, I will use the same rate. Ten li damim shekatzatzta v'tikach chelki. I just read that again. Im erze, let me start that again. Perisho, takotz ata damim be'ar chelki, v'im erze eten lecha shiur otam damim. So you set the price that I'm going to use to purchase. Vim lo ertzen, if I don't want, vim lo ertzen, ten li damim, shekatzatzta, v'tikach chalki, o akutzta, so either you set the price that's going to be used here, or o akutzta damim, be'ad chalkecha, or I'll set the price. Vim tirtze, ten li shiur, otam damim, v'tikach chalki, vim lo tirtze, ten lecha damim, shekatzatzti, that yud, I think it needs to be there, v'kach chalkecha. That's the way Rashi is understanding it. You set the price, and either I'll follow it, or you're following it, or I'm going to set the price like that. Well, the Rambam, for Rambam, gudu agud pirusho ani kotzetz kach damim. I'm going to tell you the price bal chalkecha for this portion. Oh, timkarehu li be'ad zeasach. Oh, I'm kor lecha chalki be'zeasach. I'll set the price, and then it's going to be whichever wants to use that price is going to do that price. Shikach katav v'perek hanizkar, echad min ha-shutfin, she'amru l'chavero, b'makom she'ein bo din chluv v'chulei, mechor li chakecha b'kach v'kach, o kenem imeni chalki b'shar hazeh, hadin imo, he brings proof from there. V'nira de'a Rambam mefarash k'per sha'aruch m'shoch l'emshoch. He says, look, and the way all this is going is that essentially Rashi is understanding gudu agud is I set the price, you set the price, whereas Rambam understands either, here's the price, either you take it at this price or I take it at this price, or at this rate. I'll set the rate. It's a question of rate. Okay. That's the machloket here at the Beit Yosef is saying between the way Rashi understands it and the way Rambam understands it. So the Derisha analyzes this Beit Yosef and comes out with a slightly different... I mean, he understands the Beit Yosef the way he understands it, but then he disagrees slightly with it. He says, V'katav Beit Yosef, the first paragraph is just a quoting the Beit Yosef. Nearly, shesh chiluk bein Rashi the Rambam, there's the difference between Rashi and Rambam. V'Rabbeinu, Rambam V'Rabbeinu, the tour. So the Rashi, gudu aga perish, kotz ata damim ba'ad chalkiv, im erze ten lacha shiur, otan damim, ba'ad chalkecha, v'im lo erze, titen li damim kishakatzatzta v'tikach chalki, o, akutz ani b'damim, I'll set the price ba'ad chalkecha, v'im terze titen li shiur, otan damim ba'ad chalki, v'im lo tirze, etan lacha damim shekatzatzti, v'kachal kecha. Ula Rambam, v'rabbeinu, gud o agud l'shom meshicha, k'moshi pirshu ha'aruch. Okay. Next paragraph, source number 9. Biur dvarav, shirashi mefresh kotz milashon katzitza, right? He understands kotz like katzitza. Midichtav kotz o akotz. Alkorchach betarti katzitzot. Myri. I'm not sure exactly what he means by the two katzitzot that are here. V'zeh eno min hasvara she'anitba ya'ase kitzva v'gam ken yeh b'yado habreira. He says it doesn't make sense that the nitba would be able to set the price and also be able to make the choice. Dimken yiktzeu b'chatzi shavav yikachenu b'zol. Because if it was up to the nitba to just set the price and also be able to purchase at that price, then he would say, I think this is worth, 50%, and I'll buy it for 50%. And it's not fair. The person who sets the price shouldn't be the one to get to take advantage of that price. That wouldn't make any sense. Mishim hachi pirshu abet Yosef deretzelamar kotz ata v'ten li habreira. Either the way he understands it is you set the price and give me the choice to purchase. Dimlo ken yikatzei b'chatzis shavav o ipcha, right? Or the opposite. Aval arbeinu mefresh gudu wagud kipshuto meshuch lemshuch. But either way, he's understanding it as meshuch. The idea, if you understand that good means to draw, then this idea of setting any price is not in the words here at all. All it's saying is you take or I take. So where's this whole idea of giving a price? He says that's not from the word guduagud. The way you know that someone sets a price is from that. In source number one, that last line in source number one, where we have a line that says, Malino to betamim, someone sets a price. Malino to betamim, the price is brought up. Ulefikach, debate Yosef, nafkuta ladina bin Rashi the Rambam. What this means, there's a real difference between Rashi and Rambam and the tour. Kigon im ein biyacholet hanitba lagudoto. Let's say the nitba does not have the money to be able to take it, to be able to purchase this field. And he knows that the Tovea needs it, and will be taking it. He knows the Tovea really wants this, and will buy it at any price. And he knows that he's not going to be able to pay for it. But the Tovea doesn't know what the Nitba's capabilities are. He doesn't know if the Nitba is going to be able to afford it, or if he even wants it. L'dat Rashi, she'atovea tzarich liten habreira lehanitba bekotz urakotz, or rather beakotz o ipcha bekotz kanal vada yakotz hanitbi avalea karka b'chiflaim nimtza tovea nifsad. If that's the according to Rashi, so then the nitba will just say a huge price. He knows that the tovea is going to take whatever price. The Tovea doesn't know. If the nitva is going to bank on the Tovea not calling his bluff, so he's going to say, you know what? I think the price should be four times the amount of the property here. Now, what would happen if the Tovea called his bluff and said, I'm not willing to pay that, so now the Nitba might have to pay that. But the Nitba's banking on the Tovea not saying that. He's banking on the Tovea saying, I will pay it, so he can, jack up the price, knowing that Tovea is going to accept the deal, and he'll end up winning out, but end up sort of gouging the Tovea. Right, nimtza tovea nifsad. The tovea is going to end up losing out. Mashi inken l'rabenu ve'arambam she tovea kotzetz le'olam. But according to Rambam, the person who's setting the price is going to be the tovea. Ela shenoten abreira le'anitba mishochato o emshoch. So in that case, the tovea is going to be one to set the price. So the tovea can set whatever price he thinks is reasonable, that he's willing to pay for it, or that he thinks is reasonable for him to buy it. And that sort of protects the Tovea from getting gouged by the Nitba, who's going to jack up the price, knowing that Tovea is going to take it at the price, at the exorbitant price that he puts it. So that would be sort of, according to Rambam, this would end up actually protecting the Tovea from the manipulations of the Nitba. Lo yafsida Tovea zeh. Kanal, shu kavanah de Beit Yosef pirsho. And that's what the Beit Yosef is really getting at over here. I think I might have said that a little too quickly, but was that clear? What the Drisha is saying is that there's a nafkamina between Rashi and Rambam. The nafkamina being essentially, wait, who sets the price? Is it the Tovea or is it whichever one wants to set the price? If it's whoever wants to set the price, the other one gets to choose. So then the Nitba could have an advantage. He could jack up the price knowing that the Tovea is going to take it and get a lot more money out of the process if he sets a high price. But according to Rambam, the Tovea is always going to be one to set the price. And so the Nitba is not going to have the opportunity to jack up the price. The Tovea is going to say, this is the rate we're going to do it. The Nitba can either take it or leave it. According to Rashi, the Nitba can say, I think the price should be this huge price, and hope that the Tovea is going to say, I'll take it. And he'll ultimately take advantage of the Tovea. That's just that the Drisha brings as a nafkamina between whether you say like Rashi or like Rambam. does the nitba have the opportunity to take advantage of the toveya? But he disagrees ultimately with this understanding, the Beit Yosef's understanding of Rashi. But I'm sorry, was that clear, that this nafka mina between Rashi and Rambam? One person nodded, so that's good enough for me. Okay. So the Drisha is going to ultimately disagree with this. He doesn't like this idea. Aval nirali mukhrach di'ef sharshia kavanat Rashi kasher pershua Beit Yosef. There's no way that this is really what Rashi means. He brings a couple reasons. The one that I'm just going to bring right now. Chada t'imken ha'ikir chaser milashon Rashi de'enu nizkar b'dvarav kotzata ve'abreira tia bi'adi va'adaraba katav kotzu knelecha. He says, if the whole point is that party A sets the price and party B has the choice to take it or not, so then Rashi should have said that. Rashi doesn't say anything about who has the choice. In fact, all Rashi says is, kotz uknelecha, set a price and take it. Doesn't say set a price, then I'll choose whether I want it or not. So he says, that can't be what Rashi means. V'lachen nira pashut digam l'Rashi ha-toveya oseh kitzva. He says, even according to Rashi, the toveya is going to be the one who sets the price. V'amar le, knelecha besach zeh, o ani akne be'oto sach, kedeparshehu ha-ramban, ve'ein b'nehen ela perish ha-lashon. The only difference between, they're both going to agree that the Toveya is going to be the one to set the price. The only difference is going to be what the meaning of the word is. Mimenu nimshach din echad, v'hu de'le'aruch ve'arambam v'rabenu, de'perish guru welgum l'shon meshicha, kilu amar, meshocho emshoch, v'im ken. So he says, look, the question is just what the word good means. So good means, according to the Aruch and the Rambam and the Tur, good means take it. So you take it or I take it. Imken lo nizkar b'ma yimshoch. It doesn't say what the cost is going to be. V'tzrich lamar d'mishum hachi lo pirshu mishum d'ratzel lamar meshcheyo v'tishlam li kasher hu shaveh al yedei shumat beit lata. And so it must be, since no one's setting the price, he says it must be that the price that's being set, according to this, is set by a third party. The three judges are going to set, the Beit Din's going to set the price. Because all it says is you take or I take. Who sets the price? No one set the price. It must be a third party, according to this. Masha'in ken l'Rashi, t'perish gud, kotz bedamim, elu, shekatzava tovea, omer lehanitba, kotz uchrot uknelecha, hakol liadcha, beotan damim, o ania kotz veachrot hakol liyidei besach ze, beofen shenia anachnu nichratin ze mize. So he says, look, kotz means we're going to cut it, we're going to split it, but he, according to Rashi, he gets to set the price. Umidehuskar damim belashon ze, and since this word kotz has within it the idea of setting a price, mashma de'enotula bishuma ela b'mashia poredhu. It's not because of an evaluation of some third party. I have the right to say good or agud. I can set the price. And then whoever's going to take it is going to take it. So implicit in the language of how you understand good or agud, whether it's meshicha or not, is also, according to the Drisha, going to have an indication as to who evaluates it. According to, if you just say that it's meshicha, so then there's no indication of any price whatsoever. So it must be a third party setting the price. But according to Rashi, where part of good means setting the price, that means that the price is not set by a third party. It's all actually set by the person who's saying it, by the Toveya. V'avol pi shemi lashon gud, shu lashon karita, lo nizkar damim, mikol makom, b'mashmut, ha-lashon hu kilashon b'nei adam, shemim netze midvar ze, v'al nitalebo od, v'aseh ata ha-breira. V'hevdel, v'mashe tuchal, o ani esekan. He says, look, and even though there's no mention of the money here, it's like a language that people use, like, let's set a price and let's be done with this relationship. We're not going to talk about this anymore. We're going to split it. And he says, it's just like an expression. But either way, what comes out of the Drisha that's important is that according to the way he understands Rashi versus Rambam, is not only is the question of what does good mean, does it mean take or set a price, but if it means take, that means that the price is set by someone else. If it means set a price, then that means that one of these two parties are the ones who are setting the price. So that's the way the Drisha explains this Beit Yosef. So he disagrees with the Beit Yosef's idea that the question is who gets to set the price between the way the Beit Yosef had presented it between Rashi and Rambam as to whether it's always the Toveya or whether it's whoever wants to set the price, the other one makes the choice. The Drisha had disagreed with that, but then presented this other idea that really the difference between the two would be is the price set by one of the two parties, or is the price set by a third party, by the Beit Din? Okay. Going now with this idea of who's setting the price, we'll address directly this question of setting the price. Source number 10. Here's the tshuva of the Rashba that's attributed to the Ramban. Vinyan guru agud, kemedume shezeh pashut kaperish Rashi. He says, it seems clear that it's like Rashi. Zel zelashano, kotzli damim uknelecha chalki, o kotzli damim veknecha kecha, vekivan sherav zal tolea devar bekitza damim, alma, svira leisha kol toloi bekitza damim. Since he puts the whole thing in the price setting, that means that it's about the price setting. Vishezeh yachol alot bedamim, velamar, kenelecha besach zeh chalki, ve'afal pi she'enu shavelo, o aniekne. This is, by the fact that Rashi is saying the whole thing has to do with the setting of the price, that means that you can set the price to whatever you want. You can inflate the price if you want. You run the risk that you may get forced to pay that inflated price, but you have the opportunity to inflate the price however you want it, according to Rashi, according to the way the Rashba understands Rashi. So it seems that there's... Certainly, the Beit Din seems to not be the one setting this, because if the Beit Din setting it, I don't think they would have any motivation to inflate the price in any way. They would give an accurate estimation. The fact here is that it's a person, and I can inflate the price.
Right, it's two different paradigms, right? One being, I want to make you happy. What is it that costs me to make you happy? And the other one, I'm willing to pay a fair price.
Right. Yeah. So this ultimately is whether you can inflate the price like this. Is Tosfot on our daf says notes that this is a machloket. He says nira livri deafilu bedamim. So and this is eat dino de kudo agud nira livri deafilu bedamim yekarim harbe yoter mishavav yecholamar lo o good o agud. Even if it's a highly inflated price, vein nira liritzba dimken yuchal aselak echad et chaver aide. He says, Ritzvah says, there's no way that's okay. Because if that's the case, then you could ultimately just beat the other guy out of this property, the Ein Badin Chalukah. You could always force him out of it by setting a price that you know he can't pay. But you could, in theory, pay. The Rashba here is going to say this out also in source number 12. Ein Behen Kedei Lazech Dei Lazeh, my Rav Yehuda Amar Eat Dina Degudu Agud, Rav Nachman Amar Late Dina Degudu Agud, Amru Mishmo Shel Rizal Demalin Afilu Al Shave Mea Matayim. Even if something's worth 100, you can say 200. Kol Shu Merlo Gud Matayim O Igudana. As long as you say the price is going to be 200, either you pay it or I pay it. Velobet Sumat Beitin. This is not going to be through Beitin. Ela Kamashir Tu Lalo. It's going to be whatever they want. Vechen Nira Bidivrei Rashi. Zal shepirish kotz damim uknelecha chalki o akotz damim uknelecha lichal kecha v'hainu detanya kol she'elu ilu yechalek u'shmo alav cholkin v'imlav malin otan bedamim. He's saying, look, malin otan bedamim. I think with the way Rashba's understanding that line, malin otan bedamim, is that he has the right to increase malin otan bedamim. He can inflate the price to whatever he wants. He can raise the price to whatever he wants, and. That's how the Gemara said that. There's no din chalukah. Malim tapen mim. Raise the price to whatever you want. V'yeshik mishikatav t'davku b'tzumat beitin. Those who say no, it has to be done through beitin, i.e., you can't do this price inflation. What do you do with malino tabedamim, which seems to imply you can jack up the price? Uve'emet matzinu lashon iloi b'tzumat beitin. What do you mean? Malino tabedamim could also mean the beitin evaluates what the value is. Kotash shaninu in erchin the maktish nechasav malin lo et tefilav is tefillin. Where in this case malin doesn't mean someone has the ability to inflate the value of something. It means that Beit Din estimates what the value is. So again, this machloket here could be about how do we understand that line malino tam bedamim. Does malino tam bedamim mean that someone can raise the price ya'ale et a shivyon? Shovi? Et a shovi? Or does it mean no? It means evaluate. If it means evaluate, the Beit Din evaluates it. Or does it mean you could really be ma'ale? You could raise it up high. So the Rashba here is saying that this is really could be understood as a machloket in these three words, ma'alino tobit amim. So the Beit Yosef, going back to the Beit Yosef that we saw earlier in source number 13, also brings this. V'gadvu atosvot, to where machl eat. eat dina de gudu agud, nira l'rit, afilu b'tzamim yekarim harba, you can spend a lot of money, inflate the price. Yechol omar, o gud o agud, v'ein nira l'ritzba, d'im ken yuchalas lekechad achaveru, al yedei ilui damim b'chatzar she'ein ba din chaluka. Uv'tshivot hami yuchasot le'aramban, siman mem gimel that we saw in source number 10. Katuv al perish rashi zal, kevan she'arav toleha devar b'kitzad adamim, Alma svirle shze yuchal alot bedamim velamar knelacha besach zechelki vaval pi sheino shave o ani ekne vahachi mash mivlishin de brighta de katani vein lo malin velo malino to bedamim. Right, the Beit Yosef here is just quoting essentially this idea that we see from the sources 10, 11, and 12. The Rashba, and sorry, this tshuva of the Ramban, that's really the Rashba, adds another factor here. He says, Mihu, in source number 14. Mihu, katav ramazal, dedavka imba la'alot et damav shomin lo. This is specifically only if you increase the price that we listen to him. He's allowed to. Aval lefachot midamav, ein shomin lo. We don't allow him to. She'im ata omer ken, if you could do that. Let's say you have the following case. Ashir ve'ani, shineach lem aviyem, midi delav bar chaluka. Ani and Ashir, two brothers, their father bequeaths to them something that doesn't have a din chaluka. Hari Ashir omer la'ani, tneli pachut midameha, o ani etnam, you give me less than its value, or I'll take it for less than its value. Vihi yodea shilarash, ein kol, ve'ein, actually I don't know, la'elyado, la'elyado? Likachota. La'elyado, to his hand, ein la'elyado? Doesn't have to his hand?
He doesn't have the power in his hand.
So L is in, like, ability. There you go. Very good. Okay. Okay. So I'm holding by Balak, not by Lavan. Okay. What's that? Okay. Likachata afilu sheve matayim b'maneh. V'imtza Ashir lokech al korcho d'ani b'pachu midamav v'imata omer ken lakta midat hadin. So he says, if you could go under, then he could even, the Ashir, knowing that he could give a set a price that the other party can pay, but knowing the other party's not going to be able to pay it, so he could set even a lower price. He'll set a lower price. The nitba's not going to be able to, his brother, the nitba's not going to be able to pay it, but he'll get to, so he'll say, okay, fine, I'll pay that price, but he just set a low price. So he gets the property at a lower rate than what would normally be. So the Yadama says, of course you can't do that. Otherwise, he'd be taking advantage of him. At the very least, he has to say at the market value, and then at least the ani is not going to get ripped off. He'll get the market value. But here, he sets a lower price, knowing that the ani is not going to be able to pay it, so then he gets to pay it. He gets this property at a lower price, so he messes over his ani brother, which is like a not nice thing to do. So the Riyadarma says that there's no way that you could do that. You can inflate it, because that's only going to benefit, in theory, that could benefit the poor person. But to lower, to undercut it for his own gain, that's not allowed. This is all assuming that the person gets to set the price. The Yadarma continues the second paragraph of source number 14. Aval yesh cholkim b'devar. Whether he puts it higher or lower, he can't say good or good. If it's more, he could say, I can't pay that price. The price is set by beitin. They'll set the price. You want to take it? You take it. I want to take it. Whoever wants it can take it at that price set by the beitin. You can't do that. And this would mean, guduwagud means to limshok, to pull, to draw. We saw earlier the translating what mishicha means. Doesn't mean you're raising it. Because that could mean, just to evaluate, and it brings the same pasuk, or not the same pasuk, the same from Erechin that we saw earlier, that malino to bedamim doesn't mean to necessarily to jack up the price, just means it's evaluated by beitin. So it's also all part of the same definition thing. We've got a lot of defining ideas there. Good or agud, ma'alina tabitamim, all that's going to be tied up together. I saw in source number 15, Shirei Rav David points out that this machloket about how, whether you can jack up the price or not could ultimately be connected to another machloket that we're going to see here and then see a little bit later on. Source number 15, top of page 4. Hine, v'hine be'etzem ha-machloket, i'achol lomar gudu agud b'yater mi-shavav, o davka b'shavav. Can you inflate it or does it have to be at the price? L'chora hayanir b'ze gufa pligi, i havi din chaluka o takanat chazal. This will ultimately be whether there's what's being motive, what this gudu agud thing, is this a formulation of chaluka or is this just some stam takana that chazal made to allow this to happen, or is this a concept like within Chaluka? If you say it's got to be at the market value, he says, look, if you're going to say that you could raise it, sorry, let me start that. It must be a takana chachamim. And that's why it has to be at the market value. Because if it's not the market value, it's high, too high, let's say that wasn't, Chazal didn't allow that as an option. The Chazal said, it's got to be good or agud. But if you jack up the price that the to a point that the other person can't pay, so he's going to, so then that wouldn't be a fair, that's not what Chazal were mitaken with this takana. They said it could go even higher. Svirlei or svira lehu dehavi din chaluka. That's a chaluka. Lachen shapir yechol alato dalkopanim bazen nami have chaluka. De mize de zen otel chavet vze adamim. So look, but if you say you could jack up the price because it's really just a form of chaluka, you're getting, I'm getting, it's a chaluka. What difference does it make how much you paid? So if you say it's no, it's chazal or mitakin to be a specific way, so you can't raise or lower the price. But if they just said, you just got to split it. That's all that is a split. This is a split. So it doesn't matter how much you pay. So he says that could be like, that this machloket is essentially that machloket about what is the gudu agud. Is it takanat chachamim or is it just another form of chaluka? Ach, afshar nami lomar lehefech. Or he says, actually, you could say the opposite. He ends up with a tzarich iyun at the end. But we're going to see him, this comes back later on. But he ends up concluding, ach, afshar nami lomar lehefech. If it's going to be a chaluka, it's got to be a proper chaluka where it's equal sides here. You could say that if you raise the price, it's no longer a split. This is actually a sale. You're valuing, you're saying it's more, you're getting more money for it than it's worth. That's a sale. That's not a chaluka. But if you're going to say this is really a takana, they said, look, that's what it's going to be. Whoever is willing to pay the more money gets the property. So he says it could go either way. You could understand this as it could be either way. Either way you slice it, either one could, in theory, understand it as a takana chazal or understand it as another just din chaluka. So he leaves that as a tzarich iyun. In the 10 minutes remaining, I want to actually skip la halacha, sources number 16 and 17, and look at source number 18, because this is where Rav David's going to come back. B'di'eved o afilu lecharchila. Can you claim gud or agud at the outset? Or is it only, I want to do chaluka, no chaluka, okay, gud or agud. So the Chatam Sofer in source number 18 says the following. Eat dina de gud or agud, pirish Rashi, zesh rotzeh lachlok v'chuli. Rashi, we had a whole language. He says, you set the price. After the, he spends a lot of time talking about this. So he says, the Chatam Sofer from this learns, marichut lashon zeh, mashma desfira le kamosher iti be'itter. He says, it must be the Rashi holds like I saw in the itter. Mamar chalukot karka, de lo amrin an gud or agud, ela hechi shezeh rotzeh lachlok. O good, avi good, aval im ein rotzel lachlok. Probably it's supposed to be as good we good. Aval im ein rotzel lachlok. Rak omer good wa good. Vidach omer lo we good. Velo ata tagud ela nachlok. Im lo tirtze ladur imi beshutfut as betela tanat good wa good. In other words, good wa good or agud has to come on the heels of an attempt for chaluka that doesn't work. But if I just start with good or agud, the other party can say, no, I want to split it. But I'll say, I don't want to split it. Let's say I want to be done with the property entirely. I want to sell it to you or I want to buy the whole thing, but I don't want to even split the property. So you can't force gud or agud in that case. This first option has to be chaluka. If the chaluka is rejected, then you can come to the idea of gud or agud. But to start with gud or agud and ignore chaluka, you can't do. You've got to, the lichadchila has to be to split. And if chaluka cannot happen, the other party's not not letting it happen, ein batin chaluka, then you can introduce good away good. So on this, Rav David in source number 19, Shri Rav David says, Rashi de Bar Machal itin et good away good, he quotes the Chatam Sofer. He quotes Rashi, he quotes the Chatam Sofer, ayen sham, okay. Second paragraph in source number 19, bottom of page 4. V'lichora, midivrei ha-muchach nami k'mashik nizkar le'el, shenichtav le'el, de gudu agud have rak takana chachamim v'lo din chaluka. He says, from this, you can see that gudu agud is actually an idea of takana chachamim, and it's not a din chaluka. Din neima de have ze din chaluka, my tav ina davka shuzel achlok lishnaim. If it's a chaluka, then what does it matter? You has to be chaluka first. Hari ba ofen she'ein bo k'dei chaluka, have ze gufa din chalukatam. Shecholkin chaluka de gudu agud v'shapir yeshkan tvi alachlok umasvara ika sheets derech davka litvo alachlok l'shnayim. Why should there ever be? You have to attempt to do. If it's a chaluka, then if gudu agud is also a chaluka, then what difference does it make? You start with the idea of chaluka first. Then you, if they can't work, then you do gudu agud. If it's a chaluka, it's a chaluka. Elamuchach to have a ze rak takana chachamim. V'lachen savri to takanatam have a rak heichashirotze lachlok. It's only in a case where the Toveya says, I want to split. The Nitba says, I don't want to split. It's only because my partner said, I don't want to split, that I can now say gudu agud. Because if it was just another din chaluka, wouldn't make a difference. You could do this chaluka, you could do that chaluka. Clearly, the fact that you have to start with chaluka, and if that doesn't work, you go to something else, that means that something else is not a proper chaluka. Otherwise, why would you have to do one or the other? They're both chaluka. He continues at the bottom of page 4. Venira de davka hecha de shayach before lachlok. This is obviously only in a case where it's actually practical to split. Vreksha ein bodin chaluka, but you can't split it. Bezes avi rashi ve'etar deem eno tovea lachlok ein yachol lamar gudu agud. Valhecha de lo shayach klav mitziyud lachlok shapir yachol lamar gudu agud. Af below tviyat chaluka. If it's something that could never be cholek, you can never be cholek, so then obviously you don't have to say, let's split the slave in half. Oh, we can't split. You don't have to say that. You could start with gudu agud when it comes to something that can't be split. He continues on the top of page 5. Ve'asvara b'zeh, desavri t'kol ha'zchut t'gudu agud have davka mishum t'toen d'efshar lo liyot imo b'shutfut. It's only when he says, I can't be a partner with you in this. V'imkem b'dvar t'shayach b'chaluka. It's only where you could actually split it. V'no t'veh ha'chaluka el rotzeh rak gudu agud hari ein tanato she'ein rotzeh et ha'shutfut imo el rotzeh gudu agud. If that's the case, and you could split it and you start with gudu agud, that indicates that your interest is gudu agud. Your interest is not, I don't want to be with you. If your interest is, I don't want to be with you, then you could have started with, let's just split it. But if you start with gudu agud, that means that your real interest is not just nullifying the shutfut. Your interest is either buying the whole thing or selling the whole thing. V'zeh lor minu gudu agud. In that case, you don't say gudu agud. T'davkim t'veh chaluka. Only if he first wants chaluka. V'rak she'chaveir no rotzeh, t'bezeh tanato hu she'en rotzeh t'ashutfut. Then, you can see, he just doesn't want to be his partner anymore. V'rak she'chaveir no maskim l'kabel chelak she'en bo k'dei chaluka. V'zeh yechol shapir lamar gudu agud. V'imken, hare kol ze davka b'devar she'shayach bo b'po chaluka. See, we said before, that only in a thing where you can actually split it. T'bezeh yesh lamar dim ein rotzeh lachluk, muchach t'ein tanato she'en rotzeh et ashutfut. Elash rotzeh gudu agud. V'bechatzio eved. Let's say it's a slave or something. There's no option to split the Eved in half. So you've got to do Gud or Agud. So there, the fact that he opts for Gud v'Agud doesn't mean that he doesn't want to be a partner once Gud or Agud. It means he doesn't want to partner anymore. But this is the only option. So of course, he can say Gud or Agud. We can say that what he really desires is not being a shutav with him anymore. Avabish ain't to vea chaluka, rak, Yeah, it's just not possible. Kivan to be'emet ein atzacheret rak gudu agud. There's no other option. You've got to be gudu agud. So there, we're going to allow him to do gudu agud.
Isn't
gudu
agud like an eved?
Well, I guess there are two different types. There are different types of ein bo din chaluka. You have an eved,
which is impossible,
or you have something that's small, like an eved. If both parties agree to somehow split it, maybe
they
could do that. The point is that for a field, though. I'm sorry. For
so
a field,
small field, so it's just inconvenience.
Right. But for the slave, it's actually not possible. Okay. Any questions or thoughts on that before we come to the final piece of the shir and of the zman?
Go ahead.
Okay. So we come now to Rav Asher Weiss, Kofin Almidat Sdom. So he explains what's at the base of gudu agud. This is part of a larger conversation. He brings many different cases But he, one of the cases that he brings is, what is really at the basis of Gudu Ragud? He says, Lefiyani Adati, Nireh B'yesod HaDvarim Shal Gudu Ragud, Delo Kinyan, Vaflo Chalukah Yeshkan. This is not a Kinyan going on here. This is not a Chalukah. What is really at the core of Gudu Ragud? What is Gudu Ragud really about? Ki Masiyat Tzedek Musar, Delo Orchot Yosherhu, Shabar Korcha Yal Tzu Lehishtatef Ze Im Ze B'Ba'alut HaNeches Mishum She'ein Bo Shir Chalukah. It's not. You have two people. One partner does not want to be in this partnership anymore for whatever reason. He wants out. The appropriate thing to do, the way asiyat tzedek, you let him out. And he says, "Mishum kach amru derashai kol achad mehem litvo lachlok olim kor chal kol achaver." And that's why you allow gud or ragud. V'chol alacha zo eno ela mishum hanagat hamusar. V'chen emtzino lemedi midvei harashba. He says, "This is the Rashba shuvatav shekatav di so din gud or ragud mihu mishum." The whole, why do we allow Gudu Ragud? It's because it is not fair to one of the parties to be stuck in a relationship that he does not want to be in anymore. It's not going to cost, the other party is going to either get the property or get money. He's not going to be totally up the creek without a paddle. He's not going to be totally messed over. He's going to get something of value. He's going to get something equal value, right? He's going to get the property or the money. Let the other guy who doesn't want to be a partner out of the partnership. In the shir that Rav Asher Weiss gave, this is just the text from the website, but if you listen to the shir that he gives, he says it's going to lead to sinat chit. You have two partners who don't want to be working together anymore. It's going to lead to sinat chit. It's going to lead to terrible things. Why force him to be part of this relationship if he has a way out? Let him out. The right thing to do is to let him out. He doesn't want to be there anymore.
It's a larger issue. It's like what you say by Apollos, right? You know, we don't make you an eved. You have the option of walking away.
Right. And he ultimately, with the last two remaining minutes, I'll just say what he says outside. Ultimately, he says, this is a major, important thing in Judaism. In Jewish law is that, yes, we have the dinim, we have what do you have the rights to? What are my rights? But at the same time, he ultimately says, the idea of saying, shali, shali, v'shacha, shacha, this is what I have, this is what you have, so ultimately that's zomidat sdom. That's not the Jewish way. The Jewish way is to, even though I have mine, you have yours, to sometimes, he says, to be looking for rachamim and chemla and doing the right thing. And even though I have my rights and you have your rights, and maybe we could be, you know, totally according to the deen, Rashi Weiss says there's a Jewish value of living a life that sometimes goes lifnim yishrat ha-deen. And sometimes in all the hilchot shcheinim, yes, you have a right to certain things, I have the rights to this, I can demand my rights, yes. But the Torah, Chazal, want us to be like Hashem. Mahu rachum, avata rachum. We want Hashem. Hashem wants us to be kind, to be forgiving people, to say, oh, you know what, afal pi ken, I'll let you have that. I have a right to it. But to sometimes be willing to just go along with it, to go lifnim mishrat adin every once in a while. So when we're doing Hilchot Shcheinim, talking about Hilchot Shcheinim, and we talk so much about what are my rights, what are your rights, what can I force you to do, there's still also a value of going sometimes lifnim mishrat adin, and that's ultimately gud or rigud, that we say, I don't want him to be, I don't want to be a partner anymore. We say, okay, you know what, we're going to, and it's even codified into our halacha to say sometimes you go lifnim mishrat adin. And yet, well, hold on. Here's the great lead-in. You took my lead-in. Here's my lead-in going to be. Yet sometimes you still have disputes, and you need to go to Beit Din, right? Are there certain days, Rav Yehuda, are there certain days that Beit Din convenes, according to Chazal?
Yeah. Monday and Thursday.
And do we know that from which Mishnah?
I think Sivas Daf Bet.
So tune in to next month, where we will start Ketubot Daf Bet Amud Aleph, talking about...
But the conclusion is that they said every single day.
Okay. Tune in next month to hear it all outside.
But, spoiler alert.
Thank you everyone for learning throughout this month. There is chocolate cake. I'm sorry, I didn't mention the email, but everyone's invited to Or Chaim to get chocolate cake.
Thank you very much. Shabbat shalom.
Thank you. Shabbat shalom, everyone. Shabbat shalom. Shkoach.
Shkoach
on this month.
Shkoach.